Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama. Going into year three, who can it be but the D-I-C with a K? Anyway, that's the best I can do when it comes to rhyming. Anyway, for all y'all, Happy New Year. And of course, I want to hear from y'all, 2011. I know we ain't supposed to say all that, but I will say it anyway. 2011, Happy New Year. I want to hear from y'all. 646-929-2037 is the number. Once again, you want to call or holler at me, let me know what's going on in your neck of the woods. Hit me up, 646-929-2037, and I will holler back. I promise. And I know some of y'all tad bit shy. You don't necessarily want to talk on the phone. I can understand that. I can respect that. You can always feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and I will read your emails. Also, if you happen to be one of the people who are in one of my Smooth Drama groups, you can hit me up, questions in my Smooth Drama group or my Smooth Drama page, www.smoothdrama.com. But you probably already know that already. But feel free to, you can hit me up there. You happen to be on there and you're watching me on Smooth Drama TV with my face that's made for radio. Feel free to go in the chat room, and it's on live stream. You can look me up on live stream, Smooth Drama, live stream, www.livestream.com/smoothdrama, and you can chat me up there, or you can chat me up on Blog Talk chat room. I'm chatty. Ready to holler at y'all. I got a lot of energy going into 2011. So, and last but not least, of course, because I'm trying to get my tendrils all into your mental atmosphere, and I want you to get into my mental atmosphere, if that's even a proper phrase. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. And I, of course, will holler at you. Well, you'll be able to keep up with what we got happening. And eventually, if you're at where I'm at, then we can holler. See how simple that is? Simple yet so complex. Anyway, I know a lot of people this time of year, they do their New Year's resolutions, whatever. I don't typically do resolutions because I have the same goals every year, and that's to be alive when the new year comes. So, woo! I knock one of those out. But really, I did have a few things that I wanted to accomplish this year. One of them, show wise, I want to embrace whackness. I know a lot of times I may come off as a hater, and it's probably true half the time. I've been called a hater a few times, and rightfully so, because I do hate stuff that makes no sense. But I'm gonna try to embrace whackness. Try and understand why you want to do, and not you in particular, but just people in general who do things that are crazy. I'm gonna try to embrace that, and hopefully one day, me, you, and a few other people who are trying to make sense in this crazy world will choke the hell out of the wackiness in people, and when they start breathing, they'll breathe common sense and not that BS. Anyway, case in point, everybody know it was, I guess it was the issue, the end of the year, where they were dealing with the TSA and, oh, nobody wants to be strip searched. Nobody wants to be searched. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, everything's cool, and we don't want to be searched. So, you know, first you had of course, there's the people complaining. Then you had the woman in the wheelchair who was sitting in the wheelchair in her bra and panties looking really stupid at the airport. I don't care what anybody says, but I'm going to say it. That, whatever. I don't know what point you're trying to make, but you're not making it to me. And then there's this man in Richmond who last week stripped down outside the checkpoint to his underwear and socks. 21-year-old just was sitting there with his drawers on and his socks. And he had wrote on his chest and on his stomach in crayon the Fourth Amendment saying, and for those of you who don't know, the Fourth Amendment guards against unreasonable searches and seizures when the search party has a reasonable expectation of privacy. Now, for me, I don't know what the hell that got to do with going to the airport. Hey, there's no privacy on the plane. We all know this. I don't know how many times they've caught so-called terrorists. I mean, everybody was waving the flags and we got to beat the terrorists and beef up the security before, when you thought it wasn't going to be you who was going to be searched. Now, all of a sudden, when it's you getting searched, nobody wants that security. I think it's crazy. Now, if you want to be one of them people who don't show up to the airport in your drawers, just make sure they're clean. That's all we can ask. Make sure they're clean. Clean draws, people. I guess some brand new Hanes make Michael Jordan happy. I don't know. Anyway, along those lines, their airports are now talking about, because of these idiots, and I'm going to call it how I see it, and of course, you're welcome to disagree with me. I don't care. TSA is talking about, well, not TSA, but the airports are talking about getting rid of TSA and having so-called private security and being lax with it. And so they're saying that TSA has grown too big and they're unhappy with how they're doing and miss the different presidents of the airlines across the country. You know, Indiana, Orlando, Los Angeles, D.C. area, Charlotte, North Carolina, they're all considering it. And all I can say is, I am not getting on the plane. I'm looking at it like, if this is how it is, if they going to go lax on the security because you fools think that it's cool to be lax on the security because you don't want to be checked, I'm going to wait until, unfortunately, I have to say this, somebody blows some shit up. And then y'all going to realize that this is serious. You do not forget that there was a dude who had a bomb in his drawers. And of course, there'll be some people, and it's ironic, because conspiracy theorists like myself would say, yeah, there're probably some people who put him up to it so that you can catch him, so that you can enact measures. Now, I know people are against martial law and whatnot, but I'm against getting blowed up more. And when it comes to getting on the plane, you're not obligated to get on the plane. You're not. You can hop your ass on the bus. You can get in your car and do the road trip like you see on these movies. Make it happen. People drive all the time. I know people are talking about how gas is outrageous. Gas is three something, and there's reports that gas may be raised to $4 sometime this year. But hell, gas is like $6, $7, $8 all around the world. That's the price of it. You don't like it? Hey, stop driving. It's your alternative, I think. But who am I? All right. Anyway, this is one of them issues where I'm scared. I think something bad is going to happen, whether it be by conspiracy or whether it be by the fact that there are people who think that it's cool not cool. They don't want to be strip searched. Not that I want to be strip searched, but still, at the end of the day, if it's fair and equal, what? And, you know, I'm kind of darker than the people who are complaining. I'm just taking the estimation out there that I'm probably darker than them, so I'm kind of used to being searched just because. It's one of those things, one of them implied things. Just saying. Anyway, speaking of searches and whatnot, you know, this is the end of the NFL regular season. Now we're going into the playoffs, my personal favorite time of the year. Brett Favre, who is, I guess, is finally going to retire, probably wishes that he would have retired last year, just let it go instead of coming back for this god-awful year that he had to endure this year. You know, of course, he had the terrible season, got hurt a number of times till he was hurt and was put out for the season, didn't get to play out to get any of the records that he may or may not have been eyeing. And then, of course, he had the issue with the sending pictures of his penis to the New York Jets reporter. And now there's another controversy coming up about Mr. Favre. He's being sued by two former team masseuses. You know, and I guess it's coming out. It's one of those, when it rains, it pours. The two masseuses, massage therapists, they lost their part-time jobs with the Jets after complaining about sexually suggestive text messages from good old Brett Favre. Yay. I'm guessing, and personally, if I was Brett Favre, I would give up on cell phones. I wouldn't even have a cell phone. Nope. I'm not texting, nothing. I'm just throwing it away. I'm going back. I would love to be the fly on the wall at the farmhouse. I'm sure it's interesting there. just to say, I know that he's going through it right now, and it's probably not a pretty sight. I mean, he's being sued from all corners, and then he can't even play football to get away from it. He got to go home and sit there and take it. Take it and love it. What people do to get feelings. Feelings. Nothing. Anyway, that's in bad taste, I guess. But I think it's funny for old Brett Favre. Stay retired, Brett. On that note, we're going to go into our first song of the night. This is from one of my favorite groups, House of M. This is The Feeling.
Do you remember that feeling? This is how hip-hop used to make you feel, especially back then. It was so real. It was like air. You remember how you felt
the first time you heard the bridge and dope?
Oh.
The first time?
Yeah.
I don't have that feeling.
As the moonlight is glistening above Lake Michigan, I'm sitting with my pen and pad trying to reminisce again. But this time I'm reflecting on the music and the reason why I love it and I gravitated to my journey started in my big mama's basement, freestyling with my cousin with the Bone Thugs taping. I zoned out, can't remember what I was saying, but it must have been great by the look on their faces. It gave me the feeling I could only describe as ascended to the sky on a natural high. At lunch table, cypher spitting it with some of my guys, listening to Biggie instrumentals, learning to write. I was a hooper, but I pushed the basketball to the side. Forget Mike, really, I was trying to be like Tribe, yeah. And since then, I've been hugging the mic. Hip hop is the love of my life. We about to take it to the top, y'all.
You know, you live for the love of music.
Yeah.
My heart, and I know.
Played. I listen video, but on radio waves. The wish kind of blind, that's the way it stays. So you can be the Viper, pick a pepper, then hold hey, hey. Nowadays I got this to say. See every other rapper do the same old thing. Microphone check, one, two, blank, blank. Claiming you a hustler, then elevate the game.
Yo, I used to love him, he was way too fresh. Not cause he was so hood or the way he dressed. He had a fat gold chain and some Adidas. Stayed hungry for the fame and the real success. Yes, see, he would always seem to hold me down when the R&B was out of town. He said, I need love, so we put it down. I'm here to resurrect the feeling of
love. You know we do it for the love of music.
Pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park, to the lunchroom table where the phone gets sparked. Come on, get in your stance, cause this pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park, to the lunchroom table where the phone gets sparked. It's like.
Together you got it. Drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Dick Hugger. That was House of M, The Feeling. Every time I hear that song, I get the feeling. You know, that feeling that hip-hop used to give you. Y'all remember that? You first heard that hip-hop jam, and he was spitting that and you was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You got that feeling, you had your headphones on, and you was in the house, and the song was playing, and you got amped up. Or I know for me, playing ball, I put on my favorite hip-hop song or song, CDs, whatnot, roll up, I'm ready to go. Anyway. If you want to holler at me, 646-929-2037 is the number. Once again, holler at me, 646-929-2037 is the number. You are tuning in to Smooth Drama Radio, where we, of course, gonna bring it. At least we're gonna try to. We're not gonna use no voice enhancers or anything that's gonna try to enhance me while I'm on the mic. I don't think that there's some over the counter or under the counter that I could take that make me a better talk show host. Would I take it? Performance enhancing. Speaking of that whole performance enhancing, Diane Taurasi. Those of you who don't know who Diane Taurasi is, she's a female basketball player, plays for the WNBA. She is Phoenix, by the way. She was tested positive for a drug, modafinil, while she was playing overseas in the professional women's league in Turkey. Now, it's a stimulant, and it's actually been involved in a few major doping cases. And the reason why it's a big deal is because she's one of the Olympic team's leading athletes. And so for the Olympics, if you are test positive for something that they banned, then of course you can't play. And now for me, it's funny because what this drug is used, it counters excessive sleepiness due to like narcolepsy. People with sleep disorders or sleep apnea, they use this drug. I don't know necessarily what that would do. Maybe it's something that gives you more energy as a basketball player. I don't know. I haven't done any research on it as far as what are the benefits as a basketball player, except for what, you don't fall asleep when you're on the court. Maybe that may be it, because she's playing over in Turkey, because that's one of those underlying things. A lot of the WNBA players, well, women basketball players in particular, they have to play in both leagues because there's not enough money to be made over here in the WNBA. So if you want to supplement your income, i.e. eat and being able to afford to live, playing basketball, they normally go overseas to play in women's basketball leagues over in Europe. Now, for me, it's neither here nor there. I mean, athletes cheating, using banned substances and whatnot, it's kind of a dime a dozen. I don't see it no different than, it's not necessarily that there's a difference, because at the end of the day, the way it's looking, you look at NFL, tennis, track, I mean, we hear these things all the time, that these guys are testing positive for all these performance-enhancing drugs. And we know that they're doing it for the money, obviously, because it allows them to perform at a higher level. And, hell, isn't that the same thing when, to bring it home a little bit closer, when homie is using that Viagra, Levitra, all that other, I'm losing my chain of thought here, but isn't that what the sexual performance enhancing drugs are used for also? They're legal. Not that we're getting paid or anything like that, but it's kind of along the same lines when you say, okay, this dude is taking the Viagra so that he can seal the deal to get with you now, because I treat you right and I physically treat you right. You're like, oh my God, my man not only treats me right, but he's Adonis in bed. that's performance enhancing. And then you find out after you get with him, it's not necessarily an Adonis in bed. Do you want to take that contract away from him? You don't want to be with him no more? If he can't perform without the performance enhancing drug? Just saying. You know, it's something out there. I know this is the time of year when people getting back on the resolution tip. Everybody makes that resolution. I got to get to the gym. I got to work it out. You know, I know me personally, you know, going to the gym, working out a little bit at home, trying to work on getting my six-pack back. You know, I had a six-pack, and now I got like 1.5. Maybe 2.25. I'm trying to get that other 3 3/4 back, and then be able to take off my shirt and just stare in the mirror like a lot of people want to do. You know, you want to be able to take off your shirt, take off your clothes in general, and be like, yeah, I want you. You want to be able to say that? I mean, at the end of the day, it kind of comes down to that. But that's part of the enhancement, right? I mean, you know, we live in the age of enhancements, and so we punish the athlete for taking performance enhancing drugs to enhance themselves and to perform better. But it's illegal for everybody else. I mean, we live in the age of plastic surgery, and people get enhanced all the time. Is it that big of a deal? Is it? I mean, you know, now we say you're getting enhanced. Does that make you feel better about yourself? Or, I mean, you know, are you comfortable in your own skin? You doing it because it makes you feel, I mean, we don't know why people do what they do. You know, the people who would say, like, your Michael Jackson, rest in peace, your Sammy Sosa's, Little Kim's, gosh, I'm missing who I really want to say, and it's killing me. Gosh, the old woman who's had so many facelifts that I don't think she could sneeze without her nose falling off. God. Anyway, the point is that, you know, people put these constraints on people, saying they can't do this, you can't do that, but at the end of the day, if that's what they want to do, so be it. So be it. Now, speaking of cheating, there's a team kind of going over to another side, but it's kind of the same subject. There's a team who stole some credit cards. And what he did when he stole these credit cards, he purchased his own music from iTunes and Amazon with stolen credit cards. And he was personally responsible for like 2,000 downloads of his own music. So, and he was spreading it out through his friends also. And they downloaded like 6,000 more downloads. And so he ended up reaping over $773,000 in royalties from the sales of his own music to himself that he acquired through stolen credit cards. And it made me think, damn, you know what? That probably happens more then we, and it's not even about the stolen credit cards, because I've always been suspicious when you see certain pop artists and they have all these sales, but you don't hear anybody rolling around listening to their music. And being the conspiracy guy that I am, I've always thought, well, damn, what if the record company is buying, like, half of these CDs? Like, that's part of their budget. They buy these CDs, and then it's like, boom, they're number one on the chart. And then, I don't hate to say it, but because people are sheep, they see, oh, they're number one. Oh, they must be hot. I got to buy it too. And boom, the floodgates are open. You make an artist number one just by buying their whack album. I mean, I've suspected this for a while. Now, this being caught on this level, it's funny to me. Just seeing it, like, yeah. Because, and you wonder how prevalent this is. I've always wondered, is it really like that? Do they really, are there really 2 million people buying the Britney Spears album? Whoever the Lady Gaga, or whoever the hell is pop and popular right now, do they really get themselves? Are people really listening to it like that? Or is it the record company making it up and then getting the sheep to go out and say, oh, it must be hot, so I got to get me mine too? Just a thought. On that note, I'm going to play a real MC. This is Chino XL. Spit that fire.
Belly Bell, Chino XL, that's where I'm from. I'm gon' spit that fire.
Chino XL, Belly Bell, that's where I'm from.
Yo. I'm gon' spit that fire.
Belly Bell, Chino XL, that's where I'm from.
I'm gon' spit that fire.
Chino XL, Belly Bell, that's where I'm from.
Yo. I'm gon' spit that fire.
We here to make sure Puerto Rico stay on the map. I'm the metaphor, a game is a gangster rap. Ride with Felly in the range with the heat on my lap. You Whitney Houston in the hood, guaranteed to get cracked. Here's another power 106 anthem. You a Chrysler 300, I'm a Rolls Royce Phantom. I stand up, repping with the broadcast professionals. Till our pockets are swollen up like Usher's nose. It's the same Chino XL from back in the days. Not even 30 yet, but carry AKs. Pulling niggas off the stage, fold his peoples like accordions. Ron R. F***ing up the whole audience.
Yeah.
Try to dip Vinny, I whip your ass in person. You gon' need LL plastic surgeon. Felly fell with the lyrical messiah. Think of me as a caveman, I invented fire.
Felly fell, Chino XL, that's where I'm from. I'm gon' spit that fire.
Chino XL, Felly fell, that's where I'm from.
Yo. I'm gon' spit that fire.
Felly fell, Chino XL, that's where I'm from.
I'm gon' spit that fire.
Chino XL, Felly Fell, that's where I'm from.
Yo. I'm gon' spit that fire.
Felly dropped the sirens, DJs vanish. Silent like the H in Spanish. Borrowed the beat from Aftermath Team. Tech my Dr. Dre plus weight is my Jimmy Iovine. These rappers ain't street crooks. They go both ways like a little kid crossing the street looks. I'm the wrong beast to push, try me. I'll have heaven overcrowded like tsunami.
Felly is the West Coast, but flex that.
Flex is the East Coast, Felly Fell, respect that. Artists don't want it with GXL. Yo, sway, let me smack them on TRL. Power 106 and Felly, dangerous. I stay high like P. Diddy, child support payments. The strangest written pages, rappers die slow. More than divorce, bitches kicking the Tybo. Felly deserves riches, ripping that radio. Like you were crazy, oh, oh. Can I get an amen? Other DJs spinning like Badu when she was dumped by Common. One verse, you my fan from then on. Burst you with handguns the size of a cannon. I'm a b-boy and a gangster, both officially now. Have your body full of holes like they spots on the cab.
Felly Fell, Chino XL, that's what's up. I'm gon' spit that fire.
Chino XL, Felly Fell, that's what's up.
Yo. I'm gon' spit that fire.
Felly Fell, Chino XL, that's what's up.
I'm gon' spit that fire.
Chino XL, Felly Fell, that's what's up.
Yo. I'm gon' spit that fire.
Fire.
together, you gotta be smooth. Drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hucker. That was Chino XL for mixtape, the definition of an MC. Spit that fire. Okay, I love fire spitters. I can't help it. It's just in my nature. And I love spitting fire, so at least trying to spit fire. Maybe I don't spit like fire, maybe I'm spitting out a little lighter fluid and I got a match and a little spark, just a little bit. But nonetheless, I'm spitting it anyway. I don't care. Speaking of spitting and speaking your mind, there's a Metro bus ad that was, I guess, supposedly controversial. I don't see the controversy myself, I guess, for some people, because we got that, I don't know what you would call it, lobby, whatnot, where there's certain people that you just can't say nothing about, even though it involves the American taxpayer's dollars. There's an ad on a, and it's from the Seattle Mideast Awareness Campaign, which they pay $1,800 for right here in America. And it's supposed to be on a dozen buses. It says, Israeli war crimes, your tax dollars at work. And it's supposed to be featured on a few buses. And the ad read, of course, the Israeli war crimes, your tax dollars at work. And a lot of people, I guess, were upset by that, which I didn't understand why they'd be upset. Because, hey, we're paying tax dollars. Now, I don't know about anybody else looking around, but America's broke. Obviously, and you start talking about tax dollars and where it goes and war crimes by any state that we're supposedly funding, I'm against damn cops, you know, shooting people, and then they get paid vacation. I think that we should have a bus for that. We have a bus ad for that. Although I know that I'll never get on the bus, but same thing along the lines. I think it's funny that there are people who want them to pull the ad. American people don't have the right to know where their tax dollars are going. Not that the American people care, obviously. You know, anything that has anything to do with other countries, or you say Israel, and we know the history here in America. If you say something bad about Israel, you're an anti-Semite, even though I don't really know what an anti-Semite is. I mean, I really don't know what a Semite is. And Semite... what? And I'm anti-Semi what? I don't know. Last time I checked, if Semi is whatever they are, I am. I'm Semi something. You know, as far as our American heritage goes, we look down our bloodline, you got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So that would technically make you a semi something. Technically, I would not be being semi whatever. I don't know. You know, I don't know how much our tax dollars are as far as going to Israel. I don't really care because I know there's money that goes to Israel. There's money that's going to Iraq. There's money that's going to all kinds of nations, all kinds of dictators. Well, not necessarily dictators, puppets all over the world who do the so-called powers that be's bidding. But, like I said before, nobody really cares about that kind of stuff because it's not really that sexy. It ain't something that'll get on the National Enquirer. It's not something that'll be on TV. It won't be on E! News or TMZ or any of those other shows. You know, they're not going to be jumping out the bushes. On the people who pay for that ad, because they know the American people don't care about stuff that matters in life, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. But I know when they're jumping out the bushes and whatnot, or they're covering something, it's never stories like that. It's never stories about Nigeria, like I was talking about Nigeria and Mali, and how the sex slaves weren't freed, and we're not sending no troops over to help, no peacekeeping forces whatnot to help. That kind of stuff. It's not really all that important, I guess. That's what I'm about to say, right? But what is important? There's a little legal trouble here that may get some folks in real trouble. And I'm sure there's a few people out there that this may hit close to home on. There's a man who's being charged with reading his ex-wife's email. Oh, Leon Walker, 33-year-old computer technician, was snooping around his wife Clara's Gmail account. He said that he found her password written in the book next to their shared laptop, and by doing so, he discovered that she had been having an affair with her ex-husband. And so, Clara found out, filed for divorce, and had her now ex-husband arrested. Leon argued that he was concerned for the safety of Clara Walker's son from her previous marriage because the father was allegedly arrested for abusing Clara in front of their son. But they say that he was a hacker and that the computer was password protected. And so he hacked into her system. And now they're charging him with a felony. And this is a law that actually concerns identity theft, but it's being applied to him when he comes up to he comes up for court in February. Now, what's interesting about that, I'm saying that he's committing identity theft by hacking into her email account. We know that that's been prevalent here for a while now. And most folks, it's not nothing that serious. I mean, it's serious, obviously. Somebody hacks into your email account, you know, the whole you getting busted, your girl or your guy hacks into your system, whatnot. And normally it's domestic. Well, this is on a whole nother level because this now is talking about you can be charged with a felony against identity fraud. So this would be an interesting case to keep watch over because what we're talking about here is potentially people going to jail for reading others' emails. Now, think about the implications of that. Over and over and over again, how many times have you heard that or experienced that? And then all of a sudden you'll have that mad ex who's pissed off behind some domestics. You can be charged with identity theft. And they sue your ass and put you in jail. That's real serious. But everybody who's ever done that or thought about doing that, that's some serious weight. I don't think anybody wants to go to jail for reading some emails. I don't think there's anybody raising your hands. I don't think there's anybody raising their hands. It's like, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm ready to go to jail for that. I don't think there's anybody who wants to go to jail for that. So, Mr. Walker's case is going to be an interesting case to keep abreast of because if he's ruled guilty and he has to do some serious time, I shudder to think what happens next with all the people filing again and again and again and again. And we're talking about all the different cases because obviously everyone who's ever had this happen to them, if this case goes the way it looks like it may go, it sets the precedent. Now, the conspiracy theorist guy in me says that this is a martial law tactic. I mean, because obviously, if you could put people in jail for reading emails, whatnot, you know, we've already been through the whole net neutrality and them wanting to constrict what you can or cannot look at on the internet under the guise of, oh, we're here for the children. We're trying to help the children. But are they really? Are they really trying to help the children? Or are they kind of trying to control what you do? It's very serious stuff. And I know, once again, it ain't nothing that's really, really sexy. It ain't something that's eye-catching. It's got nothing to do with so-called celebrities. But I think for people who use their computers, get on the internet and whatnot, it's a very serious issue with long-term implications. Stay tuned. I see this one getting uglier and uglier. I mean, no uglier than the fact that the United States approved business with nations that are so-called blacklisted. You know, the whole axis of evil the evil nations that we're not supposed to deal with, that are enemies that we want to bomb. The United States government granted special licenses allowing American companies to billions of dollars in business with Iran and other countries that are blacklisted. And I'm not even going to go into the word blacklisted. They're blacklisted as state sponsors of terrorism. Now, think about that for a second. We're told, hey, this is your enemy. Cut and dried, right? This country is the enemy of your country. They hate you. They want to end your way of life. That's what we've been told. That's what we've been explained to over and over and over again. Hey, you know, they want to do something to you. We have propaganda. We got to attack Iran. We got to stop them. They got nuclear weapons. You know, we've been trying to create the propaganda to go to war against Iran for a minute now. But companies like Kraft, Pepsi, some of the nation's banks, they made over 10,000 exceptions to American sanctions rules just so businesses can do, well, corporations can do business with said blacklisted nations. Not no real big outroar, outcry against that. Because obviously, I guess for the most part, it doesn't affect you or I guess. I guess. Just saying, we can do business with them, but they're your enemy. But on the local level, we're taught to hate them. It's kind of funny how that goes. But on our level, you read an email, you may or may not go to jail. But it's okay to do business with countries, and you know, it kind of rolls back to what we was talking about earlier with the TSA, and nobody wants to be searched, even though the searches came because of the terrorist threat in the first place. So it's like some introduction to the Matrix type shit where making sure at the airport we're inconvenienced. You gotta take all your stuff off. You take your shoes, your belt, all that other stuff up, so the terrorists won't get you. But at the same time, we as a country, well, corporations based out of this country can do business and help said terroristic countries, blacklisted axis of evil countries, and help them prosper because corporations do business there. Make sense to you? Doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, I said it before, who am I to say? Maybe it's important, maybe it's not. I guess that's up for you as the listener to try to ascertain for yourself. But I think it's an interesting, ironic paradox, if that's the proper way of saying it. If I said it wrong, who gives a damn? You know what I mean. It doesn't make sense. Something that I did find funny, witchcraft. You know, the whole witchcraft. I'm a witch. Anyway, Romania. Romania has declared witchcraft a legal profession. Now, I saw it, and first thing I did was just, I just kept laughing because, you know, witchcraft as a profession, I mean, to witches, is being a witch a job in Romania? I mean, is that what they got a witches union? But then, when you read into it, it's actually not about witchcraft as a job per se. It's actually Romania trying to crack down on widespread tax evasion because they're in a recession. So they're going to tax witches, astrologers, embalmers, valets, hell, driving instructors. I don't know what driving instruction has to do with witchcraft, but they're now to be considered by labor law to be working real jobs. And so they have to pay tax on that. And it made me think, like, well, damn. When I think of witches and witchcraft here in America, I think of the clergy. I think of the church. And I'm like, maybe we need to pass that here. I mean, I know it won't happen because obviously when you talk about the clergy and you talk about the church, the church is the number one gang in the history of gangs. I mean, you know, Christians and Muslims, truth be told, are the progenitors of the Crips and the Bloods. Hell, we know the majority of our wars have been fought along the lines of, well, because it's Christian and Muslim. I mean, that's a lot of what this whole terrorist shit is all about. Christian and Muslim fight for the holy place of whatever it is. It's foolishness. And I'm like, if you want to tax them, you want to solve some of the world's budget problems, tax these mega churches. Hell, isn't the Vatican a nation within itself? And they rake in how much untold money living large off the backs of the poor? I know it'll never happen because the Pope is the so-called vicar of Christ, but I think that Romania charge witches. Hell, why don't we charge the witches here? Tax these churches. And I'm not talking about you, Eddie Long. I'm talking about your Pat Robertson, you know, that guy that I said, F you to. I still hate him, and I don't know him. But tax his ass. We talk about taxing everybody else. Tax these wealthy mega churches. I mean, they're business conglomerates. But that's not really important, right? We'd rather give our money to the Lord and we'll see our eyes later, right? Anyway, not going there. On that note, I want to thank y'all for listening. Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama, 2011. I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.